I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills News with the UK twist. Robin, Mark, Matt here talking free agency. Guys,
yes.
How are you feeling about free agency so far?
Just fantastic. You know, it's all strikes and gutters, isn't it? It's the dizzying highs and the terrifying lows.
But ultimately, that any good team what good team has ever really built through free agency?
Exactly. You're saying you don't win the Super Bowl in March, you win it in February.
Exactly.
Correct.
Unfortunately, February just comes off before March, but hey, hey. But no, I mean, it was an interesting time. I mean, everyone, you see Twitter go through and everyone just wants this player, that player, or get this player, sign that player, tweet this player. I mean, to be honest, I did it a few times with Chandler Jones, like most people wanting him in, but I'm assuming this is probably the most exciting part of the offseason other than the draft, to be honest. I mean, what goes, do you like that? Like other people, do you just really, just tag, retweet, just refresh Twitter as much as possible, waiting for news?
There's a bit of me that feels like it's a bit like transfer deadline day, but it lasts over a certain period of time, isn't it? And that you're always kind of hoping for news, but realistically, it wouldn't surprise me if Buffalo have already done their business in free agency or main business in free agency. Look, everyone talks about Chandler Jones, and you look at the money that he's ended up signing for at Las Vegas. We were never going to pay that. We don't have the cap space to pay that.
Yeah.
So it's.
Brent Bean's not that sort of GM either. He's not going to pay that amount of money to Chandler Jones.
You're exactly right. And yeah. There's a bit of me that feels like, you know, we were potentially a coin toss away from making a Super Bowl, because I'm saying that we'd beat the Bengals if we get to the, you know, discounting them. Our roster is a coin toss away from a coin toss, even away from making a Super Bowl, and we'd have beaten either of those teams in the Super Bowl, let's be honest. So yeah. our roster's not a million miles away, and yeah, there are a few key pieces that would be very nice to bring in, but from my perspective, I'm sort of hoping we hit on that in the draft rather than end up paying over the odds and hitting our already frail cap situation more by bringing in people that, if they were that brilliant, wouldn't be free agents.
That's very true.
I like it because obviously you get all these rumors like, oh, I spotted Chandler Jones outside Duff's Miles Jack, who's just been released by Jaguars. I saw him driving down Orchard Park and all that.
Yeah.
I like those. And then you just get those fake accounts, really, that actually try and lure you in. Like that one, I think there's the Buffalo Bills one, a fake Buffalo Bills one, saying we've already signed Chandler Jones. And
got
so many people out. I'm just thinking, just make sure they've got the blue tick there.
Yeah. Has Chandler Jones, by signing for the Raiders, has he moved to the worst team in the AFC West?
Yes.
Oh, comfortably. Comfortably, I think now, yeah.
I mean, he's obviously gone there, hopefully, to make the team better. But you sort of, I mean, he's gone for the money, but that's a hell of a division to get out of.
Yeah, I think that division, I'm glad that, well, kind of glad and kind of not glad that this free agency, they brought the Broncos and the Chargers have made those moves in free agency and trade to bring those guys into the West, which, as most people point out, give us a little bit more of a free run to potentially the number one seed, because they're going to be taking games off each other.
So,
in a way, I like the fact that if they just keep beating themselves up, we just be our normal self and actually keep it close. We can actually then get the run during the playoffs.
It's kind of how the Patriots did it, isn't it? Let's be honest. They had three fairly poor to middling teams in the AFC East, and it gave them an almost guaranteed 12 wins a year, didn't it? So
yeah, I mean, we're looking at it. I mean, you look at what we've done free agency wise first, at least just to at least get us to the point, because every team had to be below the $208 million cap space by 4 o'clock Eastern time. What they've done through it, obviously. Feliciano, we know, has gone to the Giants. Darrell Williams, they've cut him. They've restructured Mitch Morse. They've actually added $2.25 million salary cap space to reduce his hit to $9 million. And then obviously, Haider Milano's contract, converting that to signing bonus. So you can see that whilst people moan that we don't have that cap space available, there are... what's the best words, creative ways to get around it.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of teams that have gone through something similar in order to do that. And you know, there's a lot of restructuring going on, and that's well worth it. I think we've got rid of some of the players that we needed to get rid of. I'm not disappointed about Feliciano moving on. Right. In all honesty, I think he flattered to deceive a lot of the time. And Mitch Morse at centre is a far better option anyway. But we're still never going to be spending, you know, like Jaguars level of money, because it's just not available to us. And you know, and I'm kind of all right with it. I think some of the moves that we have made, I like Saffold at right guard.
Yeah.
I think that's a good move.
Pro Bowl.
So yeah, Pro Bowl. If you can stay fit, I've spoken a lot with one of the guys who runs the Titans UK page, Transatlantic Titans, who I think has been on this pod in the past.
Yes.
Just before we played Tennessee, he does the Long Snapper podcast with me, and I've spoken to him in depth about Roger Saffold, and he was gutted that he was moving on. Thought he was had an incredible season for them. Just had issues staying fit sometimes, and if we can keep him on the field. He's a huge addition to us on the offensive line.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he played, and the good thing is he played with Cromer as his as assistant coach, as his line coach. That's the word I was actually thinking of. So you've got that familiarity, and you've got a guy in Saffold that has been to the big game and with Cromer. And actually knows how he plays and has got that ability to plug at left or right guard. And I think what he said, he's going to be playing more left guard, more than anything.
Bates to right guard.
Yeah, they've put a tender on Bates. I don't know
how
much for and what the compensation would be, if there is any compensation.
Who are they going to play at right guard, though? Are you rolling with Cody Ford?
No, probably. This is where I think the draft... They do get a guard kind of early, unless they manage to keep Bates and maybe go after another free agent offensive lineman. I mean, you've got, was it that Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, the chief guy that came back. You've still got Will Hernandez out there. You've got the likes of Billy Price from the Bengals. Just looking through the list now, Austin Blythe has just gone, but you've got some good guys out there that really are.
Do you think there's a chance we bring back Ike Butker?
It's possible. I think so. He is currently a free agent, isn't he?
So he's free agent, but he was, like, from my point of view, if we keep him, he was kind of slated at left guard. So we'll see. No. Maybe it's a draft. Maybe it's a free agent. Who knows?
Darrell Williams hasn't found a team yet, has he? I don't know if he'd come back, but
he's at Darrell.
Darrell Williams, he hasn't found a team. Don't think so.
You never know.
Not of 20 minutes ago. Last time I heard.
Not since we were doing this podcast, right?
Yes, during the course of this conversation, all could change.
But no, I think it's possible. I mean, the fact that you look at it, you've now got pretty much four solid guys on that line now. Obviously, you've got Dawkins, you'll pretty much have Dawkins, Saffold, Morse, any other...
Spencer Brown at right tackle,
yeah.
So, in essence, keep those healthy. You've got four pretty much of the best offensive linemen you can actually put out in there. So whether they go for a rookie or if they get another veteran and sign, draft a rookie, say round 4 or 5, and bring them in to actually just learn behind them, who knows, to be honest.
Yeah. I think Bates comes back. So I think he's moved. But yeah, I agree with you. I think a late round guard pick is a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, switch it up. Let's go. We see, obviously, all the talk was about Chandler Jones, and all the talk was about, who's the other one that we were trying to get as well? Unusu and all that. Yeah. And we've ended up at the moment going with Daquan Jones and
as a time of recording, I think actually only Tim Settle is the actually only confirmed signature, and I'm still not over JD McKissick yet. I'm saying I don't believe they haven't announced Roger Saffold or Daquan Jones. I've not seen the official.
I'm sure I've seen Saffold in a press conference. I'm sure I've seen that.
I've got my live thing here of officially announced signings, and only Saffold was on it. But that's cool.
No, but I mean, with that, it shows that they are more serious with this defensive line. I mean, we've lost Harry Phillips to the Vikings. Maybe we could afford him on what he went for on there, but in essence, for the price that Phillips actually went to the Vikings, we have got Daquan Jones, who can play, who is one technique guy, and Tim Settle, who has been stuck behind the likes of Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, and Matt Ioannidis, who in fact just got released today by the Commanders. Yeah, it's a bit ironic on there, but
don't say that. He'll decide to go back to the Commanders in a minute.
They're
presented in some areas, don't they? The Commanders. You'd have thought they'd have a bit more success.
Yeah, but it does make me really good that you can at least rule out potentially Jordan Davis, say in round one. Really, you can try and probably say that him, maybe Travis Jones, defensive tackle in the first two rounds may be a very low down on that spectre for it. But is there any concerns for you, or are these the type of picks and not pick signings that you really like and like to see?
We assume Daquan Jones and possibly even Jordan Phillips as well, along with Tim Settle. Do we have an overabundance of defensive tackle now? Are we keeping the two Lele? Is anyone else stepping aside?
That's it for me, because if you think that Vernon Butler, Justin Simmer are free agents, if assuming we sign Daquan Jones, it's Jones, Lutele, Ed Oliver, and Tim Settle, and that's our four. At the minute. Right.
And you also got Brandon Bryant and Eli Anku. Okay. Also
cool.
On the night.
Good for them.
But
are we going to win a Super Bowl with Eli Anku trying to chase down Mahomes?
He flashed a bit in the last few games where he actually did it. But no, we've got that ability. We've got that depth in there. But then you're now looking at the defensive end position where you've only got Russo, Epinesa, Basham, and Mike Love at the moment.
Yeah.
And I can understand why they've been doing all these big splashes trying to get a top edge rusher. But seeing the likes of Jones, Ogba, Reddick, Randy Gregory, Usu, and all that go, do you see more they're looking to get Hughes and Addison back, or do you think they'll get one or the other back, or try and go for another splash in Melvin Ingram, maybe Clowney, Houston, or even like Pierre Poole?
Do you think, and I'm just going to throw this out there, because I am the least knowledgeable of the three of us, do you think they're operating on the philosophy that if you can generate more pressure in the middle with the D tackles, that gives you more opportunities to rush from the edge with the players they have? So they may be moving away from splash D defensive end, or at least sort of playing a plan A and plan B. Yes, they would have loved to have had Chandler Jones, but if they don't get Chandler Jones, you get the tackles to create more pressure in the middle, which means that Rousseau and Basham are then stronger on the edges because they're looking at some point to move on from Jerry and Mario.
No, I could see that. I mean, there's always a saying that the pass rush you don't always generate by sacks. It's mainly about the pressure keeping in. But then you look at also, do you go with a top defensive end or do you go with a cornerback to take away the coverage, then let your defensive end shine? So I think it's you're looking at the defensive tackle side as more of a cornerback to defensive end type play. So if you can stop up the middle, create pressure up the middle, and then let the defensive ends come in, and you have the cornerbacks come in as well.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah, that they've tried to just strengthen the pressure in the middle so that their existing defensive ends may have a clearer run at the quarterback. Is sort of what I'm getting at, I suppose they're not doing it so that they can bring in a new defensive end. They're doing it to help the defensive ends they already have, because Rousseau and Basham are coming into year two, and maybe that gives them a bit more.
I could see that definitely happening. I could see them thinking that way. And as I say, we know that McDermott loves to rotate that defensive line.
Yep.
So obviously, strength and depth there. You get these borderline elite defensive tackles in there to actually spell with Ed Oliver, with Staff, if they're going to keep him, which more likely they will, because his contract apparently is a complete bastard to get out of. that we can actually see them run with those defensive tackles and actually generate that pressure. I think that's where we lost games. The pressure on the inside. We got it on the outside. We could contain them. But yet, once we contained them there, they just knew you could just go straight up the middle and there wouldn't be that much of a challenge in there.
I'm struggling with this. It's like, I get it. And I think in theory, it makes perfect sense. I'm outside of Ed Oliver and Greg Rousseau, I'm just not convinced we've got the talent on the D line yet, regardless of who we're plugging in and who we're rotating. I admit I haven't watched enough Commandos football team to know how good Tim Settle is or isn't. Yeah. Up until we signed him, I'd not even heard of the guy. Daquan Jones, decent enough. Boogie Basham, saw him flashes. Some of the other guys that we've mentioned, like Bryant and Anku, Mike Love, all right. Even Epinesa has been up and down. I like Ed Oliver and I like Greg Rousseau. I still think we're two players short. I think we look to bring back either Addison or Hughes, not both, but one.
Yeah.
Probably given the age, I think it's more likely to be Mario Addison. And I think we need to be drafting or in free agency finding a defensive tackle. I don't think we're strong enough in any of those positions yet, unfortunately.
Yeah. What about Abada? Do they bring him back?
I'd love to see Abada back, and I think there's a very good chance he will come back. I don't think he'll be expensive. I don't think the market is necessarily huge for him. It seems stupid to say that he's got a mate in Christian Wade, and does that help?
Yeah.
Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. He knows that he's loved in Buffalo. I'd love to see him back and rotated in even more than he was, but we'll see. But yeah, I no reason why he doesn't come back.
So do we allow Tim to go on a little mini rant if we change to the offense and the did he or did he not McKissick sign? Do you want to go for a rant, Tim?
Go on then, Tim.
Who's Tim?
Fucking hell. Ring.
Robin!
Robin! Even get my name right.
I should have myself the door.
You know, actually, before we get on to JD McKissick, because I do have a lot of thoughts on the subject, did we mention Levi Wallace?
No, we didn't. No. And
I just wanted to get a quick paragraph in because I wanted to know that I do my preparation for this show. I do take it seriously.
Well done, Tim.
Yeah, just call me Tim from now on. I answer to most things. 2 years for the Steelers for $8 million.
Yeah,
that seems cheap. And I'm gonna quote you, Tim from the UK Bills podcast said a few weeks ago that we Bills might get him for five or we might get him for 5 or 6, but he might get up to 9 or 10 in free agency. And the Steelers got him for 2 years for 8.
Yeah, that's who I was talking to recently, Tim. So
I'm going to agree with Tim. I think he was. I think he was absolutely bang on. Steelers got him. Steelers got him for 2 years.
So I know
this as well. Can I just say this because I found this out via Sal Calpaccio, undrafted, signed to the practice squad, Levi Wallace, signed to the active roster midway through his rookie year. Started the NFL debut 5 days later, and then he never gave up the starting role over the next 3.5 years.
And it was a walk on Alabama as well.
Yeah, for all the people weren't, you know, too positive on him, certainly as compared to Trey White, but.
Yeah.
You can knock him.
I think it will change the dynamic of the draft, and obviously. Week 2, week 3 of free agency and all that, what direction they go. Because, I mean, you still got some decent guys still left, obviously, and as free agents now on there that you can call on. Most of them are going to be your veteran guys. But do you plug one of those in and actually draft? Or then, let's say, do you draft like a Booth, like a Lamb? Like a Gardner, all that in the draft, plug them in straight away, or do you develop again?
They'll be doing their homework right now, and they'll be trying to make a calculation of who is available in free agency, which is a sort of proven commodity, versus what might they be able to get in the draft. And I think they'll make a few discreet inquiries for the right amount of money. For free agency, but I think it will tell you a lot. They'll go cornerback for sure because now they've let Levi go, they have to.
Right, and that's nailed on for round one now.
Do you go for sort of splash corner or do you go for a kind of mid range corner and then hope to draft one? That would be my prediction. They go for a sort of mid tier cornerback and then they draft, you know, trade two.
I think we're nailed on. First round is now going to be a cornerback. I don't see there being any way it's not. The only way that we were going to potentially keep away from that is if we stuck with Levi Wallace, who I agree with you. I'm a fan. I've always thought he was decent. He was our only player that played over, I think, like 40% of snaps last year that was a free agent. Everyone else was under that. And I wanted him back, but that him going says to me it's round one is a corner, no doubt in my mind at all.
Do you think that slightly goes against kind of what Brandon Bean always says about the draft, which is always go for best player available, don't go for the best cornerback or the best, don't go for the position of need.
I mean,
I think he's got to break sort of his golden rule.
I think this time,
he's a dynamite wide receiver. Do you think he goes? Never mind. Or do you think he's...
I think we might find that conveniently the best player available is a cornerback.
Oh, right. Yeah.
you just don't know how teams set up their boards. So I think this is a good thing about being in that scouting department. They'll go through everything with a fine tooth comb and they'll have different play people at different places. So Mark Wright, cornerback may be one of the top on their board, their best player available at 25. you might even see, and we know that Bean likes to do it, you might even see if they don't feel like any other's going to come to them, you may see them go up, whether it be second round into the right at the top of the second round, or even first round up to late teens to actually maybe go ahead and grab it. But each general manager has their own different board, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how Bean's board actually stacks up come April.
Yeah.
So let's talk to offense.
Okay.
Come on. Let's talk to offense. Come on, McKissick.
Well, I mean, you know, Tim from the podcast, you know, he was high on him from his first win. I like that guy. A bit of an hazily, whiny voice, but he's a good guy.
It's a good job that Robin didn't think that, right?
He's
learning his trade. He's getting there. You know what? Honestly, I'm just pleased that somebody I did some research on got mentioned, because, like, I think as Mark was saying, we didn't know who Tim Settle was before they got an announcement. And when I saw the name pop up, I did a little dance, and I thought it was fantastic. It's interesting that the reason I made that prediction is that I like Devon, I like Mota. Not convinced by Moss, but I like the idea of getting a second running back, and he just seemed to tick that box of giving you something. You got Knox, you've got Diggs, you've got Davis, you can have Singletary. What else might a guy be able to do? And a kind of pass catching running back kind of fit that bill. And I think what's interesting is that the Bills are probably going to look around, because what was it, second day free agency, they think they have their guy. They may well look around to see who else is there to fill that sort of pass catching running back, doing something else. And if they don't get it, then I think that's a draft need. So I think they go for something like that maybe in round two. So I agree. I think they do go cornerback, but I think they maybe go for that kind of utility running back wide receiver earlier on in the draft.
So they pretty much showing their hand of what they want to do at running back. The fact they want to go for that pass catching third down back who can spell if necessary. Time if Singletary and Moss actually do obviously get injured.
Yes.
Do you think there's any chance we go after Cordarrelle Patterson now?
Yeah, I don't have his numbers to hand. What's his sort of his general kind of, what's his value at the moment?
I think the thing that hurts him is that, I mean, he obviously had an incredible season last season.
It was just pretty much him and Pitts.
So he had an amazing season, but that's one amazing season he's had after, like, what, 10 years of watching him at other teams use him poorly, but him still not be brilliant. I think the thing that's knocking him is that, you know, can he replicate last season elsewhere? Because you look at the numbers, he would be kind of a no-brainer, I think, for a lot of teams. But I don't know, he is the best now pass-catching running back still available, right?
Yeah, I mean, Spotrac having down is a market value of about $9 million.
Yeah.
So market value, 2 years, 18 million.
He was sort of $4 million. I think that's a lot. That's a luxury I don't think they can justify.
But if he was getting $9 million, would he'd have got that already?
Yeah.
As he waits and people don't sign him, is his value plummeting every day?
How far does it plummet? I mean, if you go on for nine but you take seven, he ain't going to take four, is he? Which is, and that was sort of McKissick's kind of value, was that he was in that sort of less than $5 million range. Don't quite see him dropping that low, really. It's also a bad time to sign someone after one really good year, isn't it?
I do agree.
Let's put it this way. I mean, obviously, just recently, the Titans have come out and said they're going to cut Julio Jones. Would you take a flyer on him, maybe a one-year deal? Would you go for an Allen Robinson, give him a one-year prove-it deal? Or with that case, are you going to say, okay, it looks like we're going to keep Beasley and draft someone, or is there going to be someone that is a bit lower down, like James Washington, or Will Fuller, Byron Pringle, that could come in?
Not a chance in hell I'm taking Julio Jones.
No.
Too injured, never sees the field for the money that he's going to want. Not interested in that. If we're after anyone, good locker room guy, I'd like to see us go after Jarvis Landry. That's someone who can replace Beasley in the slot. I don't think will cost a fortune. Fantastic presence in the locker room. For me, that would be a target.
Yeah. Sure. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play Would You Rather. I've chosen a couple of positions. Yeah. You don't have to give me in-depth about him. It's just good, general good. About it.
Because if it's Tim Settle, I wouldn't be able to.
I'm going to act as Brandon Bean. You two are going to pitch either one of these guys I'm going to choose as Would You Rather to me. And we'll see what happens. So we're going with cornerback. Would you rather have Rasul Douglas or AJ Boye? Or Bowie? 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 B-O-U? Yeah, Bowie. Hmm. Or to follow, or to put one more person in there. Where is he gone? I had just a minute ago. Vernon Hargreaves. So would you rather Bowie, Douglas or Hargreaves?
I think it's a top up between Rasul Douglas and AJ Bowie for me. I think I'd probably go Douglas because I think he's going to be slightly cheaper and had a better season last year. He's another one of those guys who's like kicked around an awful lot of practice squads and has found somewhere on the Packers that works, and he played incredibly well. I think it's going to be hard to keep him because the Packers are trying to keep him. But he'd be my preference based on the play that I saw last season. Interception machine, and didn't get beat a lot.
Robin,
I'm not familiar with any of those three names, Matt. I'll be honest with you. I'm more of a surface guy. You know, I'm more about sort of good feelings and just sort of positive mindsets. Really,
he's far too wholesome.
You start throwing names at me.
Your sunshine and daisies.
Very, very, very quickly. I'm just here for the enthusiasm.
Sunshine and daisies. So okay. If you know of any cornerback that's out there, who would you pitch?
Oh God, I don't know. I'm going to have to go back to my list. Who haven't we spoken about in a while? Let me see. Who's my free agent list? Oh, do you know what? I did mention.
Drum roll.
You won't get him. He's on too much money. He won't come. But Darius Williams from the Rams. 14. I looked him up the other day. He's over 10 million. He's probably more like 14 million. I my notes about him was too much, but I did like the way he played.
He's been signed to the Jaguars.
Oh,
3 years, 30 million.
Wow, I know. It doesn't mean anything anymore. Look what McKissick did. You know, come on, broke our heart. Yeah, okay. No, I'm not over it.
Okay, so number two, would you rather Melvin Ingram, Jason Pierre-Paul, or Solomon Thomas? Defensive end. Don't make these easy, do I?
No, I think probably I'd rule out JPP. Great player, but long in the tooth now, a little bit old. I think, who was your other one? Sorry, not Melvin Ingram. Who was your third one?
Solomon Thomas.
Melvin Ingram out of that list, surely. I think he's He was top 10 of the edge rushers who were available. I think he's just on talent alone. He's clearly the best. I'd rather have Clowney, if I'm honest, out of any of the edge rushers. I think Clowney would be too much. If we're going for JPP, we may as well bring back Jerry Hughes.
That's fair. That's fair enough. I mean, it's, you could just see that how many really free agents there are, and anyone can go in any sort of direction. So it's interesting, mainly to see who Dean and McDermott really do like to actually bring in. They'll fit the culture. I mean, just those six names are ones that potentially, well, apart from Darius Williams, who now actually been signed by the Jaguars, who seem to be just throwing stupid money around, yeah, really could be anything. I mean, it's more looking likely that Jordan Phillips is coming back as well, so defensive tackle may be out of the question a little bit. But really, is there a surprise? Last question, is there going to be a surprise you see that the Bills will go for in free agency that you don't think they'll hit or that don't think they would have gone for? So is there one player you think no one's mentioned him? He could be a guy or a position that Brandon Bean would look to go out and get.
I think if they're going to go, if they don't get McKissick and they don't get that additional string to the bow, I think they may see who's there in the tight end position.
You've got Gronkowski, Austin Hooper, Tyler Conklin, OJ Howard, Gerald Everett, Tyler Croft.
No. Yeah.
I thought that one pass against the Rams, didn't he?
Yeah. Well.
And then you've got like Jesse James, who was rumored to be with us or be looking at last year. I mean, Jacob Hollister, Eric Ebron, Jimmy Graham.
None of those make us bad.
Yeah, they don't fly off the page, do they? I'm just looking at it from a positional point of view. I think they've got their guy in Dawson Knox. What they want offensively is something that they don't already have. Mm. And maybe they go for a different slot receiver if Cole doesn't stay. And it's gone a bit quiet. I haven't really heard too much. I don't know if you guys heard anything about Cole, Beasley.
No, I think he was free to look for a trade, wasn't he? And yeah, we'll see.
I think they're going to. They kept him on the roster, so the moves with Hyde and Milano maybe have just kept him on whilst they're trying to work out a trade, because if they didn't, then I'm assuming that he would have actually been released on there. I mean, just looking through.
Replacement slot or second tight end would be, that would give them something that they either don't already have or replaces something that they're already about to lose.
Yeah, Jarvis Landry for me is the guy. That's who I'd love to specialist. Specialist slot receiver, that for me is screaming obvious one.
what do you think we could get him for? What's his
market value?
I don't know what he's doing.
Have a look at Sportrack. I've no idea. It doesn't strike me as being mega expensive because of his age.
I think if anything, we'll probably take a 1 year deal, possibly approve it. Where are we? Jarvis Landry, there we go. 29 years old. Market value.
Is it 29? Oh, nice.
12 million. Yeah, 2 years, 24.
I don't think he'll get anywhere near that.
Maybe if they took a million or two off that, 29.
I mean, let's have a look.
If they could clear up 10 million for him.
I mean, if you look at it this way, I mean, okay, Beckham's 13 million. I'm just trying to figure out, they've got a couple on there.
30 million in trouble, though, isn't he? I mean, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you've got one guy that would probably do it on a 1 year deal, Byron Pringle. We saw what he did with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Botrack have him down as 3.2 million for a 1-year contract. And you see what he did, where he actually got into the backfield on sweeps, and what he actually could do when he played the pass, when he actually made the receptions. I think you could see him being that sort of guy. I mean, he's been averaging like 15 to 19 yards per catch, in essence.
There's a bit of me that wonders if even if Beasley goes, our slot receiver next year ends up being Isaiah McKenzie. And actually, Robin's right. What we try and get is a different option at tight end. I think Robert Tonyan's still out there as an option. Maybe there's a guy we draft. We need to sign some people.
I think that's the good thing about this roster at the moment. Yes, there are holes in there, but you've also got a depth in there that maybe one or two of these mid to low level type players, more specific based players, especially in tight end, where you mainly want someone that's going to be your majority blocker, like a Lee Smith type tight end to come in. It's probably really why what we could see there. She just gives us that little extra kick on there. But we've got players there that are going to be here for a little bit longer, and the culture fit, and obviously the recruitment the players do, and people want to come to Buffalo because of the Josh Allen effect, as I like to call it.
Yep.
Yes.
That we're really in a healthy position, and even if we don't spend big and we do pick up these more rotational depth pieces, I feel it's going to be a successful free agency for us.
I agree. I think I like the fact that he's... I almost prefer the fact that he hasn't spent massive money on a big name, because how often does it work out? So rarely. And you see some of the money that's being thrown around. You know, I've another guy on our podcast called Pat is a big Jags fan, and some of the money that they're chucking about, they spent more in the first day of free agency than all but four teams spent in total last year in free agency. And some of the money they're throwing about are people like Zay Jones, who we know is not worth $10 million a year.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're going to spend that amount of money on people, come on, like Christian Kirk, $78 million over 4 years. Jesus, wet man. It's save your money. Jesus.
Yeah, I think I say this why it's going to be an easy. It's going to be a good off season for us, because we haven't got not many holes, and we can just really get at it and even work the cap space. Even if we don't sign a big name guy, the more we work the cap space by changing these guaranteed or these contracts into signing on bonuses to build that cap up, the next year or two, it's going to rocket that cap.
Yeah.
And then we've got Allen's contract coming in. If we can maybe extend it or restructure it before it comes in, you're going to hit that salary cap and go a little bit and have a lot more room to make that Super Bowl run, or that Super Bowl era, Super Bowl run, whatever you want to call it, a little bit longer than the short window we've got before Allen's contract really kicks in with all the other guys.
Well, we said it last week, didn't we? Ryan Talbot was on the call with the salary cap going up and maybe 20 million a year, 20 million the year after, something like that. That 40 million or so for Josh Allen just gets better almost every single day, doesn't it? When you wonder what they're going to give Herbert, you wonder what they're going to give Bengal boy, his name escapes me.
Burrow.
You wonder what he's going to be asking for, or what his agent's going to be asking for.
Yeah.
Every quarterback that comes up now becomes the highest paid pair in NFL history. because that's just how it works.
And, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Trevor Lawrence when he comes up. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I say the free agency. My message to the followers out there is, don't get too downbeat to the fact that Chandler Jones went to the Raiders for a 3-year contract worth $52 million. We didn't get Owusu. We didn't get whatever your favorite player you were championing for, McKissick in Rob's case, in Robin's case.
Me and Tim are still hurt.
But just don't. We're in a good position now to really attack and actually work with what we've got. And even if it is getting the lower ranked or lower rated free agents, as we said earlier, you don't win the draft in March, April, May, June, July, August. You win it between September and February. That's where you really win that game.
Yeah, I seem to remember a couple of years ago, it was fairly similar from a free agency point of view, that we didn't make the big splash signing. But what we did do was get a few more value guys that were still decent names, but hadn't gone in that first week. And then inevitably their value drops. And maybe that's what they're looking for. They're looking for those guys like a Clowney or someone like that, who's put his value too high, his agent thinks he can get crazy money. The market isn't there for him, and that value has to come down. And you've just got to wait and hope that if there is a player that you do really want, that you think can be a difference maker. And either, for me especially, it's on the defensive line. You hope that player is still available when the Bean is financially able to make the move.
Yeah. So that is a free agency in a roundup. The first 3 days, the day officially the free agency opens, moves be made, trades happen, people are happy, people are sad. Well, now we're going to start really getting into draft season. Robin is going to be learning quite a lot, so I have a feeling.
Quite a bit of homework to do.
In the next few weeks, which is all good fun. So just remember, keep following the guys. Follow Mark at...
This is SparkyS, or you can find us on the at Long Snap Pod.
Follow Tim. Oh, sorry, Robin.
Robin. I've just changed my Twitter handle now to People Call Me Tim. It's for the moment, at time of recording, it's Robin C. Armstrong.
And follow me, Matt SW86, obviously at RWBB Podcast, at UK_Bills on Twitter, Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook. Make sure you get hold of us and join the Facebook group, and also request access to the WhatsApp group, because that's kicking off quite a bit now. It's quite fun in there. Buffalo Bills UK on YouTube, and the last one I'm thinking of, UK_Bills on Instagram. Give that follow, give that like, subscribe to the podcast, give us that review. Tell Robin. That's just fun now. I'm going to say that all the time now.
Yeah, I'll just be Tim now on, no worries.
Give us a review. Tell me how Robin and Mark are doing. Tell me how I'm doing. Tell us how the whole podcast is doing. And just really give us that review. So for Robin, Mark, is Matt saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. Keep following, liking, subscribing, and let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
It's been crazy, man, crazy 4 hours going back and forth, man. A lot of things that I love in LA, but I just wanted to let you know I'm coming to Buffalo. Bills Mafia, what's good? Is 40 open?
Bills Mafia, we are back with a special emergency podcast episode. Von Miller to the Bills, 6 years, $120 million. OJ Howard also to the Bills. There's your splash. Robin, Mark, Matt, we've managed to get back on to actually to talk about it. Guys, how are you feeling about this?
Everything we just said. The rule book will need to be torn up and started over again. Yeah, there's your splash for you.
As I said, you don't make big money signings in free agency. You just don't do that. It's
only Brandon Bean. Brandon Bean wouldn't do anything crazy like that. He's very conservative.
We didn't spend 53 million to get what's his name now?
Chandler Jones.
He's in the past now. We didn't spend 53 million to actually sign him, but 120 for Von Miller. I mean,
so it's 17 point, well, for the it averages through the first 4 years. It's $17.5 million a year. I've yet to see how it breaks down in terms of fully guaranteed money and you know, the guy's 32 at the end of the day. He's not going to be a bill in 4 years' time, I wouldn't think. Clearly he was in the top three edge rushers available this offseason. We were just talking about it on the pod you've just listened to. when I'm looking at edge rushers, he wasn't even someone I considered that we would get. I didn't even raise him.
I didn't even dare nominate him even as a joke because it would have laughed out of here, wouldn't it?
It would have been so ridiculous to get someone, A, of that ability, and B, that we were going to spend that kind of money to get someone. You know, we've just been talking about defensive line, and for me, that was the area we needed to make the move. Boom. 10 minutes after we finished recording, there we go.
That means the end. No, Jerry Hughes not coming back. Mary Wadsden's not coming back.
No,
would not think so, would you?
No, I can't believe we'll see those guys again. Which is, from a Jerry Hughes point of view, it's what a shame, because what a player Jerry Hughes has been. Yes. Incredible, 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 incredible. And you forget I think they're the same age.
9 seasons, is it? Something like that.
It's a real shame that never forget that he was one of those people who was the absolute star during the years that the Bills were pretty naff.
Yeah.
Crazy to think that he's only a year older than Von Miller.
Yeah.
I think that gas left in the tank. You can clearly see by the season that Von Miller's just had, or certainly the second half of the season that Von Miller's just had. He's far more productive at getting to the quarterback than Jerry Hughes has been. So it's a big upgrade, and what a move. Unbelievable.
In essence, you might just stamp the AFC Championship to the Bills and the Super Bowl ticket to the Bills.
Just do it.
I really hope that doesn't come back for you. It gives us the thing that we were missing, which is mauling quarterback on his back, game plan for Von Miller, you know, that guy they have to double team, dedicate for, which frees up the other side, it frees up the middle, it takes pressure off the cornerbacks having to race around. You've still got Milano, you've still got Edmonds. It's hard not to get a little carried away, isn't it?
He's an X factor in our pass rush.
Yes.
And I think with another season developing Greg Russo, Ed Oliver in the middle, it makes me think that, you know, if we do manage to bring back Jordan Phillips, Ed Oliver, Jordan Phillips, Greg Russo and Von Miller, that's not a bad front four.
That's good. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, obviously, it's not out there set in stone yet what his actual contract looks like. Obviously, I don't know where you got your information from. Obviously, you got
that was,
Aaron Wilson.
That was Rappaport reporting. It's $17.5 million a year for the, or it averages that for the first 4 years. So I don't know how that breaks down, but we'll see.
I've got one from Aaron Wilson _NFL who covers it for Pro Football Network. He's saying it's 6 year, $120 million Bills contract, has a $53 million payout in the first 3 years, $32 million fully guaranteed. So $52 million total guarantees.
$52 million fully guaranteed. 52. So that's three. Okay. Yeah. It's a sort of front loaded 3 year kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, well, I mean, that That is good value for his age. He's 33, just won a Super Bowl ring with the Rams. He is one of the leading sack, was he top of the sack list at the moment, I think, for 100 or so. So you've got,
he's certainly up there, yeah.
And the one other one that went under the wire was OJ Howard, a 1 year, $3.5 million deal.
Yeah, I think that's great value. I think he's another body, decent. He's been up and down for the Buccaneers, I think, and like made a splash early. Looked very, very good when he first came into the league. Injuries, I think, as much as anything, haven't helped him, but. As a dual tight end option, if we see any of those sets, and we know that Josh Allen likes to pass to his tight ends, may well this means the end of Cole Beasley possibly. I think if you're looking at dual tight end sets with him and Knox, with potentially Davis and Diggs further out, I'm quite happy with that. In all honesty, and I think that's really good value at $3.5 million.
Yeah, so I think this definitely changes what we're doing in the draft. I think.
I don't think, unless we go and do something ridiculous at cornerback, it's first round pick as a cornerback. There's just absolutely no doubt in my mind about that. Right
now, Levi Wallace is gone. You got no one now. You got to get a second.
Unless we're suddenly convinced that Dane Jackson's going to become. Another Tre'Davious White. It's corner. Yeah. And I mean, all of a sudden, I'm really fucking excited about our defense.
No one's going to sleep tonight.
Unbelievable. I still stick by my sort of sneaky pick. I think they go not a splash cornerback, but I think they maybe get a depth cornerback. You know, that sort of mid level cornerback. And then draft for the future cornerback in the draft. But yeah, that definitely has got to be where they're looking.
Well, I think hopefully we can actually put this out and there'll be no more big splashes or big
plays. No more news tonight, no.
Let's hope that's all it's done till tomorrow. Yeah. Maybe we'll come back on tomorrow and do something. But I think for now, ignore pretty much everything that we said in the first episode. Obviously, listen to it, there's some good stuff in there. There's definitely some good stuff in there, but...
Well, I'm assuming if they've listened to this, they've already listened to all of that already, right?
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
Well, they might have listened to this first, and then they're not going to bother reading the second one, but who knows? It's the joy of free agency and joy of being British. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So for Mark, for Robin, for me, Matt, saying enjoy your night if you can get some sleep. Welcome, Von Miller. Welcome, OJ Howard, and let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Yeah, not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.